In the book of Psalm number 6, it's a text that claims our attention for this first Sunday, 2024. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. Psalm 6. And begin reading at verse number 1. The word of the Lord reads on this wise. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake.
Yes, Lord.
For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?
Well,
I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim.
Well,
I water my couch with my tears.
Yes, sir.
Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them mourn and be ashamed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Amen.
Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. I'm going to talk to us from the subject, hope of the penitent. You see the cover of your service bulletin reflects the theme for 2024, that is, affected by an experience to change. It comes from Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 30, and many of y'all know it very well that there was a prayer meeting going on at midnight.
All right.
The experience that happened caused the jailer to almost take his own life. But when Paul said, do yourself no harm, we all hear. All of a sudden, the man wanted to know, what must I do?
Come on now.
To be saved. There is an experience that will change our lives forever.
Yes, sir.
And in this season, we want to talk about the effectiveness of that, how it affects us to change. And in these next several weeks, we'll be talking about the penitent and the penitence that would cause us to change. This theme will give us sermons on penitence and passion, purpose, power, praise, and potential. Yeah, the Lord just dropped all that in me. And I bless his name because I've been struggling for a long time. And he just did it all at one time. Bless his name. Young people, penitence is feeling regret for sins. That's all it is. It's a person who feels sorry for the sins that they commit.
All right.
And in the first part of this psalm, this is one of seven penitential psalms, and I hope y'all don't get too mad at me, because we're gonna be on sin for a little while.
Come on now.
I don't spend a whole lot of time on it, but you need to understand that we got to come away from there. These first seven verses of Psalm number 6 speak to the anguish, the great cry of anguish of David. It's not a confession. It's just a wailing. He is just going through these great pains all through the night, all night long. What is here is not a consciousness or some systematic means of causing me to repent or to have some remorse. What's going on here is that it's so hot. The pain and the illness that he's dealing with is so great, it's causing him to wail and causing him to moan. He's reaching out for some kind of release. Yeah. His distress, y'all, is so great that the cry is all night long. And there can be little doubt from the first few verses of the psalm that David is suffering from the results of divine visitation.
All right.
You're going to get that in a minute.
Yes, sir.
There's something that has come divinely in the spirit that is causing him to go through what he's going through. You do understand, you do know that David's greatest sin was that with Bathsheba. Y'all know the story well of how it is that he went after somebody else's wife, and then to cover it up, had them killed, and then hurried up and married her before the baby came, and all that kind of stuff. He has this illness that has been inflicted upon him, even though the historical record are silent about this, but the conclusion is inescapable in David's Psalms. Every time he writes, he keeps telling on himself. Help us, Jesus.
Yes.
Moreover, what David said in the Psalms about his sickness suggests that at first David could easily conceal it from his servants and friends. The implication is that David became a leper. Somehow he was able to keep that from everybody else. And in his excruciating mental anguish at this discovery, David wept out loud until it just rang throughout the palace. It sounded like an animal in pain.
Right.
David's servants spread the word. They got it out there that something is wrong with David. Something wrong with the king. I don't know what it is. He gets up and he goes and he washes his face. He tries to eat something, and they have leaked it out that there's a problem with the king, even to the point that the enemies have now found out that something wrong with the king, and they want to use that to their advantage. He wakes up sobbing. He wakes up screaming. Something is wrong with the king. And so David in Psalm number 6 begins to talk about his sad condition. It's not just David's sad condition. Some of us got sad conditions as well.
Come on now.
Look at what David, he began by rehearsing before God the deplorable condition in which he found himself. He began to talk to God about how he was feeling, what he was going through, what was overtaking him. Remember, here was a man for years had been one of the sweetest and noblest saints of God. Yeah, he had been there. The Holy Spirit calls him a man after God's own heart. But he had fallen, y'all. And worse still, he persisted in pretending, publicly at least, that nothing was wrong.
Right. Come on now.
We all know what that's like.
Yes, sir.
You know, we got stuff going. What's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong. You all right? I'm fine. David somehow was able to convince folk that want nothing wrong. But a spiritual man knows when he's out of touch with God. When the flames have died out of the fire. When prayer becomes a mere mouthing of words. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but have you ever been to the place where you're trying to pray and it seems like all you're doing is saying words? Yeah, we know when we have unconfessed sin on the conscience, it really messes with our spiritual life. And David is reviewing his sad condition. He had two things to say. He began to speak about his excuses. Look at it. He says, I am weak. Come on, y'all. He's in verse number one. He says, let me tell you about my plight. Oh Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? He voiced his plight along three lines, the spiritual, physical, and the moral. Look at what he says about his spiritual. Note in the very first verse the essential spirituality of David. Even though he was in a terrible state, he did not ask the Lord not to rebuke him. He well knew that he deserved whatever God was getting ready to lay on him. Yeah, he only pleaded with God that he would not punish him in anger and in hot displeasure.
That's it.
He said, I know I got a beating coming.
Yes, sir.
But can you not beat me while you're angry?
Right. That's
it. Why are you in displeasure? You know, that there is, you know, the story about this boy. He knew that he was going to get a beating when daddy got home. Y'all know about that? That's the worst thing in the world. When mama say you wait till your daddy get home. Oh my God. His older brother gave him some good advice. He said, why don't you get in the bed and go to sleep before daddy gets home? Because that was some good stuff right there. You know, if he would get home, that was good. That by the time he had to explain in the morning, the anger, the displeasure would not be so great. And you know, it wasn't no people like us, because my daddy would pull you up out of the bed. I've seen him do it. Get up from there. But here, all he did was get in the bed, went to sleep. Daddy waits till the morning, and now he's not so angry at what he did, what the boy had done, and now his punishment might not be as great because he had cooled down a little bit. Yeah. But David took this human characteristic and applied it in his figure of speech to God. He deserved severe chastisement, and indeed some strokes have already come down upon him, but he pleaded with God to go on, not to keep on hitting on him, not to keep smiting him in anger and not displeasure, in hot displeasure. He prayed for the Lord's anger to cool off.
Yes, sir.
It's really wild when you know that a beating, and a good beating, is coming. And for you to have good enough sense to know, yes, please have mercy on me. That's what I need. He said that was the spiritual line. That was a physical line. He says, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Yeah, it's a poetic way of describing his physical condition. He was shaken to the core of his being. Heal me. Heal me. That's what he's saying. Not all of human sickness, y'all, is the direct result of human sin. Hear me. But some is, and David saw a direct link between his fearful affliction and his dreadful sin. He knew he was getting the beating he was getting because of his sin.
Yes, sir.
And since there is no actual confession of sin in this psalm, it would seem he had not yet come to grips with that. That until he confessed the sin which was the cause of his sickness, no healing was possible for him.
Come on.
Yeah, this is the principle which was behind the controversial healing passage there in James. It says, if any man is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. You know, when man is sick, he calls for the doctor. Yeah, but in the case that's being reviewed by James, the elders of the church ought to be called, because evidently the sickness, a result of sin, has been brought on by church discipline. Mm-hmm. And when the sin is confessed and concealed, then the anointing oil and prayer of faith will heal the sickness. In other words, to heal the sickness without dealing with the sin that caused it would be just like putting a Band-Aid on cancer. Yeah, the great physician tells us that he insists on going to the real cause of the sickness, and in this case, sin. If you put that right, if you get to the root of your sickness, which after all is just a symptom from what you're doing, it would disappear altogether. That I need my physical being to be healed.
Yes,
and he didn't understand that he needed to ask for forgiveness of his sins.
Yes,
but then there was one more. He said there's along some moral lines, because he says, my soul is sore vexed. Yeah, that word translated sore vexed literally means troubled, and it means dismayed exceedingly. Only one thing causes this kind of trouble, and that's sin.
Mm. Okay.
Then David added, but thou, O Lord, how long? He stopped suddenly as though words had failed him. It just didn't seem to make sense with the sentence. It's that he's in the middle of saying what he's saying, and then he's just push pause. How long?
How long?
O Lord, how long? But thou, O Lord, how long? The sudden silence is, as the horror of his situation began to sink down in the city of his soul. Suppose God should never see fit to heal him. Suppose the sentence of death in his body were to be confirmed. The horrible thing which had overtaken him were to be allowed at the last to overwhelm him. It was as if this thing is so bad. Oh, he was at a loss for words. Yes. Words began to fail him. And all he could say, oh Lord, how long? You get ready to talk to God like you know you want to talk to him. And then you realize ain't no sense in you trying to say no more than you was trying to say, because you don't have a defense.
That's it.
Lord,
how long?
He then offers this plea. He's spoken about his plight, but he tells us of his plea. He says it's just like that. It's multiple. It comes along the lines of mercy. There he says, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Oh, save me for thy mercy's sake. Yeah, the word mercy is a favorite word in the Psalms. It really is a word for loving kindness. Yeah, God extends to us not just kindness, but loving kindness.
Yes, sir.
It was this aspect of the character of God upon which David, with true spiritual intuition, laid hold. Surely God is holy, just, and righteous.
Yes,
surely he's holy, just, and righteous. And
yes,
it is with, in keeping with his holiness, justice, and righteousness that David was being punished. Yeah, he's holy, he's just, and he's righteous. And that's the whipping you getting.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Yeah, but God is also, y'all, he's gracious.
Yeah.
He's kind and merciful.
Come on now.
It is. Woo. It was in keeping with God's grace, mercy, and kindness that David should be pardoned. He's getting punishment, but he's going to be pardoned as well. This is always a strong argument with God. Appeal to him along the line of mercy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know you deserve it, but just Lord, have mercy. Oh my God. When you say have mercy, you acknowledge the fact that you deserve what you're getting ready to get. But Lord, have mercy. Here he goes on the line of mercy, and then he goes on the line of memory. Look at what it says: for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? As Spurgeon remarks, he says, churchyards are silent places. Ain't nothing coming up out the grave. In the Old Testament times, the grave had not been flooded with the light of resurrection of Christ. It was just cold and dark and silent, for the Hebrews did not have the revelations that we have about life after death. Yeah. David, using every argument he can think of, tells God that if he wants praise from his servant, he better heal him so he can do it a while that he's still alive.
All right.
I mean, look at the argument that Dave said. Look here, don't you remember that you want to get praise? Don't you remember somebody ought to bless your name? If you want me to praise you, you need to keep me alive. I need you to heal me. Oh my God. Now that's some bold stuff right there. David, knowing he's going to get a beating, but he says have mercy, and then he pulls on the heartstrings of the Lord. He says, what's going to happen if I'm gone? Who going to bless you?
All right. Come on. That's all right.
That's David's. His excuse, look here, Lord, I'm weak. But in reviewing his sad condition, he spoke not only about his excuses, but he spoke about his exercise. He says, I am weary. And he talked about two more things. He said he was worn out. Can y'all see it there in verse number 6? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. That phrase, all the night, really can be rendered every night.
Yes, sir.
Look at what he's saying. Every night, I'm crying. Somehow he managed to put on a good front during the day. Somehow during the day, he's all right.
Yes, sir.
When he's around the folk he need to be around, he know how to put on the right face. Mm-hmm. He knows how to suck it up and go on. He knows how to endure the pain to the point that can't nobody see the pain that he's experiencing.
Yes, sir.
On the inside.
Well.
Yeah, he goes about his business of the day doing what he's supposed to do, you know, taking care of the adjudications that are going on. They bring him stuff to judge and he do it. But then there are folk there that really got Williams that they already know something wrong with him. They try to give him some advice and he acts like he's going to take it and he just keeps on moving, because there are folk that can see. They say, look at the boy's eyes. There's something wrong with him.
Yes, sir.
But he does the best that he can do while he's doing what he's doing. And so by the time the evening comes and there is entertainment going on, and he stays up as long as he can. He gives them enough time, oh my God, to do what they needed to do. And then after a while, he says he tried to send folk out. Y'all, come on, it's time to go. You know, he slips off the best as he can. He goes to his room, bolts the door, and he makes it all the way to the door before he begins to fall on the bed and begins to sob and mourn and weep, because he's now out of the sight of those people who might question what's going on with him. He said, every night, can't wait to get to my room. No wonder he was weary.
Yes, sir.
Because he was experienced his payday for the sin that he had committed.
Yes, sir.
He was weary, but he also said he was waxing old. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 7. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of mine enemies. It was becoming increasingly clear to David that he was fooling nobody.
Right.
Come on, Jesus. His enemies were beginning to take note. His sleeplessness and sorrow were evident on his face. His eyes particularly were betraying him. You know, the eyes are the windows of the soul.
Yes,
the look of the eye is often a sure indication of the condition within. David was visibly aging before his people.
Yes, sir.
Much more of this kind of anguish, and he'd be in his grave.
Yes.
That was David's condition, y'all, his real condition. And sometimes it's our condition.
Yes, sir.
It's our sad condition. Hold up, wait a minute, but almost without warning, the emotional pendulum swings. David has a sudden confidence that jump on him. And I'm almost through. The transition, y'all, is abrupt. It's like flipping a coin, y'all. One moment, David was overwhelmed with tragedy. The next moment, he's marching forward in triumph.
Yes,
you know, for the believer, we can flip it just like that.
Come on, Doc.
He's showing us how it is that we can get from under the burden that's on us, knowing the God that we serve.
Yes.
Look at him, look at him, look at him. His fears got stilled. When you begin to lean on God, fear that overtakes you has to flee, because you can't walk in fear and walk with God at the same time. God, I thank you today. He had no assurance as, watch the text now, he has no assurance as yet that his healing was even going to get better. But he was absolutely confident that his enemies were not going to get the best of him.
All right.
He was like, I don't even care if I don't get better. Your raggedy tail not going to take me out.
Hallelujah.
Look at the text there. There it is. He says, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. You got to learn to talk to the people that's working against you. He said, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let me push pause before I keep going. Right there, he says, we might as well get gone. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has been listening at me crying. The Lord has been listening to me all night in the midnight hour, weeping and crying. He said, I cried so much that my mattress started swimming.
Right.
Cried so much that rivers were showing up where I was. He said, and the Lord done heard that. He said that the Lord hath heard my supplication.
Yes, sir.
In the midst of my crying, my moaning and groaning, I've been sending up some temper. I've been hollering at God, trying to tell God what I need from him, and when I need it, I really need it right now. I've been talking to God, and he has heard me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And he said, the Lord will receive my prayer. Oh, push pause. He said, not only did he hear me, he received it. In other words, he has accepted my prayer for his action. That he's getting ready to do something on my behalf. Yeah, tears are an eloquent argument with God. You want to cry sometimes. Yeah. Spurgeon calls them liquid prayers. They need no interpreter and carry enormous weight at the throne of grace. David had sudden peace in his soul and inner conviction that God had heard him. Oh my God. And the downpour of tears had shown up on his face. He says that his fears were stilled and his foes were stopped. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Glory to God. David found his vexation to be a highway back to God. He was so jacked up and so messed up. In order for him to get it right, he had to go back to God. Did you hear me what I said? Every now and then, you have got to go back to God.
Yes, sir.
I don't care how bad it is, how hard it is, how much it hurts, how long you cry. You got to go back to God. He found that his vexation, the mess he was doing, caused him to get back to God. His bones had been vexed. His soul had been vexed. What had been so good a medicine for himself, he now prescribed for his foes. He said, the vexation that I experienced was like medicine to heal me because it sent me back to God. And so now, as if he's a physician, he prescribes the same thing for his enemies. Yeah, let them return and be ashamed suddenly.
Yes, sir.
They got to get to the place like I am. It's wonderful when you can begin to pray for your enemies.
Yes, sir.
That they too might come to know the Lord for themselves.
Yes, sir.
We sung it earlier. Joy of the desolate. Light of the straying. Hope of the penitent. Fadeless and pure. Here speaks the comforter, tenderly saying, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. I reminded us last week, because somebody's trying to understand how it is that there is hope for the penitent. There's hope for the penitent because there's hope in Jesus.
Yeah.
Y'all remember John the Baptist was trying to deal with the folk that were coming to him, questioning and questioning and questioning. Jesus over there baptizing, you baptized. Who got the baptism? Who is the one? He's over here talking about. John said, look here, there's one coming that's greater than me. I'm just a witness. I'm a forerunner. I'm just out here talking about him.
Yes.
Yeah, and he said, let me declare unto you, behold the Lamb of God. Look up. He said, look up. There he is. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There it is, y'all. There's hope for the penitent. The ones who are sorry for sin, you have hope because the Lamb of God has come to take away the sin of the world. How you gonna do it, Reverend? Well, he did it way long time ago on a hill called Calvary, where they hung him high and stretched him wide, nails in his hands and feet, thorns on his head. They pierced him in his side. He hung till the sun stopped shining, till the moon dripped away in blood. He died, y'all. Buried him in a borrowed tomb right early the third day morning. He got up, and that's how there's hope, because as he lives, you can live. As he received all power in heaven and earth in his hand.
Yes, sir.
He desires to give it to everyone that would believe. Would you believe him today?
Yes.
There is hope for the penitent. There's hope for those of you who know you sin and you're leaning on the mercy of God. There's hope because God knew you needed it before you needed it.
Yes, sir.
And he sent Jesus in advance.
Yes, he did.
To secure your salvation.
Glory.
And it's yours. If you would just receive it today.
Praise God.
I don't know if you have been in a penitent state where you needed the show enough mercy of God.
Yes, sir.
Crying like David. Miserable. Needing help. not even feeling as though the Lord is hearing what you've been saying.
Yes, sir.
Yes, but can I tell you that if you cried out to the Lord,
yes.
Well,
the Lord heard you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And he will come to see about you.
Yes, sir.
And I thank God today mm-hmm. that his mercy endures forever.
Yes.
But his mercy, catch it, endures for me.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to embrace that for yourself. That his mercy endureth forever.
Hallelujah.
And just say it out your mouth. His mercy endureth for me.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen.